Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. And I want to thank our brother for these lovely songs, worshipful songs that we've had this morning. Some of them I know from the past, and God has mightily used them. Hallelujah. Well, before we start, let's again just commit our time into the Lord's presence and focus our hearts on the Lord as we receive his word, because his word builds us up in the faith, does it not? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this day is a gift given to us in which to glorify you and to walk with you in covenant and in blessing. And we ask, Lord, that our eyes and our hearts and motives and everything will be drawn toward you, that all we will see today is Jesus high and lifted up. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for bringing us together in fellowship and opening this room up. We confess the blood of Jesus over our time, and we thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us to come before you and to be taught of you, because you are the living word, and you live, and you are alive today. And we desire to lift Jesus high, because you said all men will be drawn unto me. And so, Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to just encourage you today in prayer. And we're calling our teaching today The Secret Prayer Life. The Secret Prayer Life. And we get a gleaning, an understanding from this, from one of our very favorite psalms that I trust all of us have read, hopefully many times praying over it, and that is, of course, Psalm 91. And in that first verse, in which the psalmist says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And that psalm opens up, rightly so, because it's showing us a consecration that one can have with Almighty God. And it says, it's those who dwell where? In the open places, where everyone is to be seen, where everybody can see you? No, not at all. It speaks of the secret place. And there is a reason for that, and there's a reason why I call this teaching The Secret Prayer Life, because something we all need to learn about God is, he loves privacy with each one of us. There is a place for us to come together corporately, but there is also a place where it is just you and God. And sadly, few move into that consecration where it is you walking and experiencing between you and God. We're quite happy to come together, and the reason being is because we're social beings, we're quite gregarious, and there's nothing wrong with that. God has made us to walk together, two by two. However, in redemption and the new birth, which brings us into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're soon going to learn that his heart's desire is to bring you into the secret place where it is you and God alone. And that's really what I want to emphasize, because I believe that this is paramount in which the bride makes herself ready. This is part of the spiritual equipment, if you like. This is what is absolutely essential if we are to experience that we're soon to be married to Jesus. Because that is what the bride is doing, is preparing. This is why she has this consecration set apart from the world. And it is a secret place, just like courting couples have, where they can be just together and talk and plan things and look to the future. Well, let's turn that spiritually with Almighty God, as he's trying to get our attention and show us what the future and what we're destined for, which is not this world, because it's passing away. But it's a future, and that's why he's causing us to look upwards and not look to the world. And so today we're looking at this title, The Secret Prayer Life. And our first desire should be to talk with Almighty God, and not to be known as just merely a praying person. There are a lot of people in churches, and probably we have it in our church, where we go to one or two because we know that they are a praying person. They are a praying saint, and they will pray for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. But really, prayer, the goal of prayer, should move beyond that. And that's the point. You know, so often I've found over the years, particularly with brothers, where they rely upon their wives, well, the wife, I let her do all the praying. She'll pray about this situation. And that's not what we're saved for. And it certainly is not about the secret prayer life of the believer. You see, the prayer our Father wants is where no one else knows you are praying. This is why Jesus opened up with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It opens up with him, and it's between you and him. And that's why I opened up with Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I believe prayer, secret prayer, is the key to this abiding and remaining with God in secret, under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, wherever his shadow moves, you are there with him as well. But a shadow, in a sense, spiritually speaks of where God protects you. You are covered by him, as of course we know we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We even know that the shadow of the apostles healed the people. So we get this understanding, don't we, of being in this secret place with Almighty God. And this is a place of praying where nobody else knows and where you shut the door. Now, we've often spoken about prayer, going into the closet, and shutting that door. But the point is, brothers and sisters, we're not always shutting that door. Spiritually, you may be set apart, you may be physically in another room, and hopefully you are, and in prayer, but you haven't shut that door. And how do we know that we haven't shut that door? Because our minds are still on other things. Well, we've come into that secret place with all our problems, all our anxieties, all our doubts, all our confusions, all those things. Brothers and sisters, we should be coming to a place where we should be not bringing all these things all the time into God's presence. The secret place of prayer is simply coming into God's presence. And as you just dwell in his presence, and as you worship him, and as you just lift him up, and as you just look to him, you will find those burdens to pray will come in the right timing as the Holy Spirit reveals. We should be growing up now as sons and daughters of God, where we put aside these childish things. We put aside these things that still consume and take our time. There's a lot of things that waste our time, valuable time, in God's presence. And that is why we're not always closing that door as we think we are. Of course, we can be hindered. If the doorbell rings, well, what are we going to do? Are we just going to rush out and find who it is? Because people who do that are not experiencing God's presence in the secret place. Or the phone rings. All of these things can be dealt with later on. We have to get priorities right. And this is what God is saying. God, I believe, is dealing with this assembly about priorities. We're not getting our priorities right. We're allowing the enemy to get in and hinder us in many, many areas. Whether it's in our fellowship, our coming together, whether it's be our prayer life, or whatever it is, there are many hindrances. Just drop it all and get into the secret place with Almighty God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the family are saying. It doesn't matter what husband's saying or wife is saying or whatever it is. Let's put first things first, and everything else will flow from that. Because the enemy wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your consecration, your standing with Almighty God. And he knows how to do it. And this is why, you see, we're not really closing that door when we come before Almighty God, because I've brought all these fears, these anxieties, rejections, unforgiveness, money problems, husband problem, wife problem, you name it, all those things that, yes, we go through. I haven't really closed the door. I'm not really in that secret place it speaks about in Psalm 91. That is a consecration for you and I that's open for each one of us who desires and wants this. And that's the key. Do I want it, or am I still putting earthly things first, family first, job first, you name it, whatever it is? That's the question. You see, this secret prayer of life means that we are to have no motivation other than to know our Heavenly Father. The right motive of coming into the secret place of Almighty God in prayer, in your closet, is I come with no other motive other than to worship you and to seek you this day. That is first and foremost. And when we have got that, and when that has dropped from our heads to our hearts, then we're going to just rest in his presence, and we'll find everything else flows as a result. Do you have need of finances? It will flow as a result. Do you have need of healing? It will flow as a result. God knows those needs. God knows that we need to be kept in good health, to walk this walk, to look after our family, to be able to come to church, to be able to fellowship. He knows we need that health. That's why by Jesus' stripes we were healed at Calvary. And it comes as we find that secret prayer life with him, that I have no other motive other than to come and worship and praise him. Why indeed, brothers and sisters, that should be the motive of why we're here this morning. No other motive other than to worship and to praise him, to come in fellowship and to look to Jesus and no one else. That should be the heart's desire and motive first and foremost. And if that is, you will find you will be blessed. You will find that you will want more fellowship. You will want to come together. You will want to be at the prayer meetings. You will be prepared to make that effort, because that's what comes as a result of it. We're to have no other motivation other than to know our Heavenly Father. You see, disciples, they've got to have that secret prayer life. Jesus had that secret prayer life. How do I know? Well, he set himself apart many times. We notice when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Read John 17. There's Jesus' prayer with his Father. He had learnt the secret prayer life. And look what resulted as from that. Praying for you and I, that we might be one with them. The most powerful prayer you can see in the Bible. That is Jesus' secret prayers. What does it say in Matthew 6 and verse 7? We all know this very well. Matthew 6 and verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do you know that your fears, your anxieties, your problems with the boss at work or whatever it is can result in vain repetition before God? Ask yourself, how many times have you brought the same prayer before God, praying the same thing? It's vain repetition, and it often stems from unbelief, because we're not really believing. It stems from anxiety, not looking to the Lord, or coming with wrong motives, whatever it would be. See, God knows in his love and mercy how to expose. He wants us to get it right. He wants us to be blessed and enjoy his presence, so that we're so fulfilled by God's presence, by God's love, that everything else in this life and everyone is secondary. That is the goal of the Christian walk. But we all use this vain repetition, and we try and bring this into the secret place of the prayer that we have with him. We've all done it and we all do it. Not so long ago, I found myself saying to the Lord, Lord, you must be sick of hearing this, and I'm not going to pray this anymore. I'm simply going to thank you and praise you that it is done. The answer is done. It is there. I have it by faith in Jesus' name. When you start to hear that coming out of your mouth, that's a sign you're growing up with God. And you're now starting to come with the right heart and the right motive. Because all our prayer life matters about is Jesus. My prayer time in the secret place is all about Jesus and not all about my needs and my anxieties and worries and so on. That should be the motive of meeting with Almighty God. Every time. Now, why does he avoid vain repetition, which I've just read to you in Matthew 6, 7? Because people who pray vain repetition, repeating, coming with the same prayers every time, it could be that they may not just be born again. Because you see, Jesus hears on the basis of redemption. He hears on the basis that we are a new creation, washed by the blood of the Lamb. That is where he will hear. And if it's not coming right before him, because remember, he's the high priest who intercedes, supplicates on our behalf, then he's going to teach us how to get our prayers answered, just like he's teaching us here this morning. Because prayer should be answered by the Christian. It should not be in our vocabulary, oh, God isn't answering my prayers. I can't tell you how many professing Christians I've heard who say, well, God isn't answering my prayers. Maybe if you pray for me, God will answer. That's not what you're redeemed for. That's not why you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have been saved so that God will answer your prayers, the corporal prayers of the church as well. And we really should understand this. Because we're told that without faith, God will not answer our prayers. This is why we have to believe that God hears us and he will answer. Our problem, of course, is that he just doesn't manifest what we're believing for in that right time and way. And as I keep saying, your prayers before God, if they're led and inspired by the Holy Spirit, always have a bigger picture attached to them. Every time. When you pray before God, or you're praying for your family, your loved ones, your husband, your wife, you can be guaranteed that there is a bigger picture that is attached to it, and in time God will reveal and show you. Which often shows just how powerful our prayers are before Almighty God. This is why we must always have the Holy Spirit who leads, anoints, and guides us in our prayer before God. But we've got to avoid this praying religiously, earnestly. This religious sort of praying. Are you trying to pray earnestly before God? Are you trying to work it up? Are you trying to put all spiritual energy into prayer? I can tell you now, stop. That is not the sort of prayer God wants. Prayer, intercession, is still a rest that we have by faith in him. How do we know it's a rest? Because we know that he hears us when we come into that secret place to pray. It's knowing that he's hearing our prayers and will answer those prayers that creates that peace within our heart and spirit. And not trying to earnestly and religiously work it all up, which the pagans do. Many things away how we're praying. This is why I'm always saying, when you come in prayer, whether in your secret place with God, where you go into your closet and close the door, give yourself time. Worship Him. Be still before Him. Check that your motives are right, that all you come to seek is the Lord and Jesus Himself. And everything will flow from that. Exactly the same when we come together in prayer, which, Lord willing, we will be doing next Sunday. We come again to give ourselves time to worship Him, to look to Him, so that the Holy Spirit can move and touch our lives. Then we're ready to be able to pray, intercede, and supplicate. We have to give time. We can't all just suddenly turn it on. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. A prayer time should never be rushed, certainly if it's prayer in the church. And prayer should not be where, well, we've only got an hour and someone keeps looking at the watch. Well, forget it. What's the point of coming together? We have to give time for prayer. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying and how He's leading and guiding and so on. You know, it's interesting, but somebody said this: prayer is not simply getting things from God. That actually is elementary. I'm going to give that again. Prayer is not simply getting things from God, because that is elementary. We're moving on from that. We're growing up now, brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters of God. That is what children do. We're moving forward now, maturing with God and in prayer. And when you simply put God first, you put the kingdom first, all these things will be added to. You don't have to be anxious about where you're going to pay your next bill. Will I have food on the table tomorrow? If we are seeking God as He calls us to do, all these things will be added. Can you not see that that frees us up so that we can set our minds and hearts on the reason and the purpose of why we're saved, and that is for worship and to walk with Almighty God in that covenant relationship. It's the enemy that tries to put these things into our minds and our circumstances, trying to draw our eyes away from what we're called for originally. Are we going to continue to let Him do it? Because Jesus is not going to get Him off your back. He's done that. He accomplished that at Calvary. He said, it's done, it's finished. You have the authority to tell Him to leave. Tell anxiety to leave. Tell worry to leave. Tell all of those things that occupy your time, your energy spiritually. Tell it to leave in the name of Jesus, and it will go. It will go. Why am I stressing all of this? Because this is about us coming into the oneness and fellowship with Almighty God. That oneness that Jesus prayed in John 17. Paul labored with this one, with the early saints. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That was his ministry. That was his prayers, his supplications, that Christ will be formed in you. Now, he is formed in us. The problem is we're not experiencing the fullness of the Godhead in us. That fellowship, that unity, that oneness that we have in him. And that's why I'm even preaching this this morning in my small way, that Christ may be yet formed more in you, that you may have a realization of this, an experience of this, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. This changes our attitude. It changes our outlook when we begin to look at this in a more mature and adult way, which of course is what God wants of us. We're growing up. The bride's getting herself ready. The bridegroom's ready to marry the bride. The church must make herself ready. She's got to grow up now. We've had the milk. We now have to be nourished on the solids in these last days that we live. Hallelujah. But you know, there is a lot of prayer that doesn't get answered because it often involves our will, our determination, and we try and call it faith. Well, I'm determined to break through in this. I am going to fast and pray until I get answers. Now, there can be a place for that, and the Holy Spirit can lead you in that way. We all of us, as we're led, fast and pray. But that should not be the motivation when I come into the secret prayer life with the Lord. That shouldn't be the motivation of my prayers getting answered. My determination, my will. You will never get answered prayers with that. It has to be faith. It has to be where you wait on Him. When He works with us, He enlarges our heart, or He reveals to us yet more how to pray about a situation. There's nothing wrong in coming before God and saying, Father, I see these problems, but I don't know fully how to pray. But I'm going to wait on you so that you can reveal to me through the Holy Spirit how to pray in this situation, or how to pray for that brother or sister, or for that church, or whatever it would be. Prayer isn't always logically what you think it is, because you see something. We can often see something, but we can misinterpret what we see. We can misinterpret what we hear, because we can use our own mind, our own logic. We have to be risen, taken above logic. Faith is above logic. We have to wait on the Holy Spirit as He will reveal the will of our Heavenly Father. And this is what sorts out the men from the boys, because you have to have a relationship with God. You have to have that consecration with Almighty God, where you can be still and you can begin to understand then what really the Holy Spirit is saying. Why? Because God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're way above our thinking, what we see, hear, feel, or touch. This is why the secret prayer life is so essential for us now in these last days. We've got to discern our motives, why we come before God. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to give ourselves time to come into our closet. And when we close that door, we're closing the door on anxiety, fear, unbelief, all those things that try to consume us. Now, of course, we may go through trials. Of course we do. And yes, it is right to open your heart before God. If you're grieving, it's right to open your heart before Him and to bring it before Him. But the point is, we've got to learn to leave it there. And that is our problem. We can't leave what we have talked about at the foot of the cross. We've somehow got to take it back, and we've got to analyze more, and we've got to allow more fear and anxiety to work. Well, what was the point? If you have a problem leaving all of these things before Almighty God, then tell him. Tell him, Father, I'm bringing this fear before you. I'm bringing this anxiety before you. And I want in my heart that it's left with you, so that when I leave the secret place, I don't take it with me. How much of it do we still take with us after we've been in the secret place with him in prayer? When Jesus prayed that night of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're shown how much that prayer cost him. He sweat like drops of blood, we're told. But after that praying, when they came for him and he was ready to go to the cross, he left everything with his Father. And he was able to be totally free to obey and fulfill his Father's wishes, and that is to go to the cross, that you and I today might have fellowship with him and each other. That is a principle, brothers and sisters. Leave it with the Lord and walk away and just concentrate on your fellowship and your walk each day with Almighty God. It is wrong to take back those anxieties, those fears, that unbelief, that sin that you have confessed and talked about. It is wrong to take it away with you. We're to cast all our burdens on the Lord, and it says he will sustain us and keep us. But how many of us do this? The problem could be is because you've not yet found that secret place with the Lord, where it's just between you and Almighty God. That is what he wants. God is very jealous over us. He's very jealous for those precious times that you have with him, that nobody else knows anything about. It's between you and the Lord. It is intimate. That's what he wants, intimacy with each one of us. Because I can't see without that how the bride will make herself ready in these last days. Because brothers and sisters, look up, because the Lord is coming very soon. Let's turn to John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, as I bring this to a conclusion, we have to remember that is Jesus at the end of the day. He was the Word made flesh. He is alive, living today. He's alive now, right this moment. The Holy Spirit is revealing to us Jesus, his Word. He simply uses a vessel just like me. That's all it is. But we've got to remember that the Word is Jesus. And here we need that simple, childlike faith. And here it is. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It has to be this childlike simplicity. We ask because Jesus has revealed. And how do we know that he is revealed? Because he's the living word. That is Jesus' word to you and to me, to those who come in the secret place, those, the secret prayer of life. It is not as hard as we think. There are many, many, many books that are written about prayer, the prayer of faith, how to receive answers to your prayer, and so on. I've read these books and I find that I get no nearer to it. All he wants from us is a simple, childlike faith, a faith that doesn't question, a faith that doesn't argue, suspicious. So many professing Christians have such a relationship with God. They like to argue. They're suspicious. They don't really believe anything. And yet all he wants, as we read that verse, like all the rest of the verses, that is Jesus now speaking to me. And I choose to believe it. How it's going to be worked out, how it be accomplished, how he's going to answer my prayers. Yes, the desires of my heart, I haven't a clue, but all I know is he will. Because he's the God of love and mercy and grace. And never forget that. Every promise of God must always be on the basis because God first loved me. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and work it out, why it is you're saved. Don't even try and work it out, well, here I am today in this room listening to this message. Whatever it is, it's because God loves me. That's why. That's all it is. That's all you need to know. And everything else will stem from that. Let's keep our faith simple. Yes, I'm all for theology. I really am. But let's keep it simple. Because if you don't, you will never, ever experience the secret prayer life that you're to have with your Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for speaking your word into our hearts, into our lives. You are the living word. And we feed off your word. And Lord, today we have heard much about how we can have fellowship with you. We can find that secret place, which is with, just with you and me. That is what this walk is about. And you have said that everything will flow as a result of that. But Lord, also we need to learn that whatever we bring before you, and you know those things, we have got to learn to leave it there with you and walk away. We have to take our burdens away with us. Forgive us, Lord. Father, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, how you work with us. You never tire. You're with us constantly, working with us, day and night, every moment. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your love, which is so infinite, so great. And Father, I thank you for all the dear saints that have come into this room today. Be with them, bless them, preserve them, keep them sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Be with them, Father, when they go out and when they come in. Keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptations. Help them to walk in covenant relationship with you 24/7. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Rushes onward, ever growing. she's so